And so having said that, now among those who stood all through all are very, very terribly special, but I want to highlight a particular friend of mine that I knew even before I was in ministry. You knew me back in the days in high school. Well, a lot of you here could probably say that. But I want to give highlight to an excellent friend of mine here who is here among the friends of mine. All of you are excellent. But let me just say that this guy has a very special talent, and he's one of the most gifted individuals that I have ever met in my life, and that is the person of P. Todd Williams. His mother is here with us today. Also. passages that have been heavy on my heart over the past so often. And I'm going to ask you to take a look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. And we'll read some selected verses there. I did make a few copies of this. They are back on the back table. I don't know if I have enough for everyone that's here. But always when I do text and I have opportunity to plan to preach, I generally post a message online at least a day or two before it's preached. The printed form, you can find them at teachingbible.org. And it will normally be the featured sermon if you have opportunity to access the internet. So if you don't get one today, if you know anyone who does have access to the internet, go to teachingbible.org and you'll find this posted. And also the audio will be posted sometime later, as soon as I have opportunity to do the editing and place it online. And so for today, we're going to look in Jeremiah chapter 23 for an Old Testament passage. And I'd like to call your attention to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Also, you may want to put a bookmark there in the New Testament. Amen. So let's start in Jeremiah chapter 23. And we're going to read a passage here starting at the first verse. It reads like this. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock, ye have driven them away, ye have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and they shall say no more, the Lord liveth, which bringeth up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which bringeth up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. My own heart is broken. My own heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as a slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, and I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets who prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous wind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. We have read Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 20. May God have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. We're going to have a word of prayer, and I'll make reference to the New Testament text as the message goes on. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we bless you and we praise you, O God. We exalt your name right now, Father. We lift you up because your name is excellent in all the earth, Father. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that you continue to send down from above. Father, we know that you bless us in spite of ourselves. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your favor and your kindness that you pour out upon the people of who have heard the joyful sound, the good news of the gospel. Oh, God, we just love you today. Father, we praise you today. We bless you today, oh, God. We magnify you today. Father, we come asking that you continue to cleanse us and sanctify us today. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, God, we bless you right now. We give you praise and glory in the righteous name of Jesus Christ, your Holy Son. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me extract the topic for us to hang our thoughts on today from this passage. And I'd like to talk with you briefly about relief from the rat race of false religion. Amen. Relief from the rat race of false religion. False religion is something that we have to be concerned about today, because according to Jesus Christ, there are only two religions in all the world, in spite of what we hear. You know, we hear all the time about all different kinds of faiths. But Jesus contradicts that mode of thinking. Because when he spoke, he said things like this. He would say such things as, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be who go in thereat. He says, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. He said there's two things, either the straight and narrow, or you could be on the broad road that leads to destruction. He didn't tell you there's 59 ways to get to God. In fact, he said there is one way to get to God. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. See that? So he drew a line right there and said there's two ways, your way, any other way, or my way. As we would say in our vernacular, my way or the highway. See, you can be on the highway to destruction, or you can be on the straight and narrow, the path that leads to life, few there be that find it. Now, in our culture today, we would say, oh, that's politically incorrect. And this is the kind of thing they want to tell us today. That such statements as that, that's too narrow and bigoted, and it's too narrow for our culture. There must be many ways to God. Well, the black populace thinks that that's so. But you know what? It flies in the face of the truth. That's the only problem with that. And so therefore what we find is that people say there are multiple ways to get to God, and they're in direct opposition to Jesus Christ, who is the only one that rose from the dead. So you know what? I trust him, because the problem that we have is a problem that will terminate in death. Every one of us. The Bible says the wages for sin is death. You see, and so we have an issue of death that we have to think about when we think about what course are we going to set our life on and what way are we going to take. And so I listen to Jesus, his credentials and his resume tell me that I should trust him. You know why? Because the Bible says when all they had done to him that came to pass, which he had prophesied for many generations, all the way from the fall of man, even from the foundation of the world, was spoken in the Godhead, that his son would become the heir of all things. God the Father spoke to God the Son in the Godhead. But then as far as redemptive history written in the Bible, we find all the way from the book of Moses, the book of the law, clear on up until the book of Malachi, many prophecies prophesying the coming one, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He came, he took upon him the punishment for the sins of all the world, and then he died. Which is that problem we just discussed briefly. And you know what? 3 days and 3 nights later, he got up out of the grave. So you know what? I listen to him because he's the only one that has a valid speech that can tell me, because he defeated death and the grave. See, you know what? All the other people professing a religion are still in their grave waiting on judgment. You know, Buddha did not get up. He died when he ate some tainted pork. If you read up on him, you'll find out he has a grave somewhere, and people go and visit the tomb of Buddha. Confucius died. He had a philosophy of life, but you can go and visit the tomb of Confucius. You can go and visit the tomb of Mohammed. You can go and visit the tomb of all these so-called religious leaders. You know what? You cannot go and visit the tomb of Jesus. You can go visit the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but there is no Christ. So the one who excites me is the one who went into the grave and also knew how to get out of the grave. So I'm very excited by him. And I call attention to him because there wouldn't be a Christian church if Jesus Christ was not risen from the dead. And so now we live in a culture that is pitched against the truth of the gospel. And the church has become weak and has gotten to the place where we're willing to compromise the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And the whole Bible, we can look at it as a summary or a synopsis. It was said by Paul, who wrote to the Romans in Romans 15, verse 4, that all things basically that were written and that happened to Israel were written down for our admonition and our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. You see that all of this was written so that you and I would have a history of redemptive history to see how God was working salvation, how he was bringing forth the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Also in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, he said that we should learn from the mistakes of Israel that God has recorded in the Word so that we know how to conduct ourselves in the world in order to obtain eternal life, which is the promise of the Father. And so Jesus says this. This is going to be kind of a Bible lesson today, which most of my audience, you all know how much I love the book, and I know you do too. And so I want to encourage you all today, everyone here today, to think about these things very carefully. In Matthew chapter 7, we have a famous portion of scripture that was given by Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the conclusion of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this, just to get into our message here. I want to let you know today, before we're done, how you can have relief from the rat race a false religion. Now I say it's a rat race because most people won't tell you that there are only two religions, the right one and the wrong one. Most people wouldn't be frank enough to say that today because, oh, that's politically incorrect. And I'm not quoting Fisher. This is not the doctrine of Lambus Fisher. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He said that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. The few there be that find it. But broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go in there. Any other way you go except through the straight and the narrow gate leads to destruction, according to Jesus Christ. So take me up on that. Now let's look here. Verse number, this is Matthew 7. We want to take a look at what is called the golden rule in verse 12 to get our thoughts rolling here. Therefore, Jesus said, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate. We have quoted that. I just want you to hear what he said right before that. And so basically, the straight gate is to follow the path that God has set in the world, giving no credence or no elevation to anything else that was the product of man. And the only way we can do that is concentrate our energies on what God said. And the Bible is the record of what God said. And so you and I have to learn to do that. Now, everybody, we're going to have a crash course here in prophecy and even false prophecy today. Because the problem with the world is false prophets. If we were to look and we see in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, there was a recurring problem. And if you'd like to turn to that, go ahead. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at the first verse, says, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. See that when you deny God, you don't really no one can really go against God successfully. Have you thought about that? You know, if you're against God, you got a bad fight. If you go any other way than what God really allows or puts up with, you're going to run into something very terrible. It's going to be a terrible destruction for whoever does that. But the bad news is verse 2, 2 Peter 2:2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Yeah. You know, people are going to speak evil against the true God when they set up their false idols, and believe me, right now it's going on everywhere around the world, even as I speak. There are people sitting in false churches under false doctrine who do not understand the true gospel, which is that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4:5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father who is above all, through all, and in you all of you who believe. You see, but there are people telling you that there are other mediators, other ways to get to God. And there always have been. That's what Peter said. There were also false prophets among the people, and even as there shall be false teachers among you. And these people privately introduce damnable heresies and bring swift destruction upon themselves, even denying the Lord who bought them. Now, this is not new. So when Paul tells us, look at what happened to Israel, that's why I brought a text in Jeremiah 23 to your attention. It was the fault of the teachers. How did people get messed up? They heard a false teacher who did not get them into the book, who did not get them into God's word, did not teach them that the word is inerrant and infallible. It's absolutely correct. It's the most perfect document in the creation, not just on earth, but in the creation. The Bible says the heavens and the earth shall pass away. See, you know, everything that was made is destructible, and it's able to be destroyed. He says, but my word shall never pass away. So the Bible is more indestructible than the universe in which we live. I believe in the book of Revelation when it tells us that basically it says that he who sits upon the throne, from whose face in Revelation 20, I think it's 21:11, he says, I saw him who sat upon the throne, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. That's showing you heaven and earth going out of existence. He says, and then the books were opened, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And then the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. I believe one of those books is going to be the Holy Bible, God's word, because it's absolutely inerrant and infallible. It will be the standard by which all human thoughts, opinions, and everything will be judged. God will judge us right out of the things written in this book. The good news is the book is here for us. We have the book. We have the word of God. But what happens when people misteach, twist, or distort the word of God? Well, what happens is what happened in the days of Israel. Jeremiah writes before the nation of Israel, who had been separated out of the seed of Abraham, had been in the world for basically many generations up to the deportation. Matthew 1:17 says, from Abraham to King David were 14 generations. From King David to the deportation into Babylon were 14 generations. So God's patience waited with Israel for 28 generations before Jeremiah writes the text that we have here today, Jeremiah 23. And what is he saying? He's not talking to the people at this point. He says, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am against the pastors who feed my people. Why? Because they cause my people to err. They teach false things. Things that are not true to the scriptures. Things that cannot be verified by the word of God. Things that twist what God said into something that he never said or never intended. And so you and I have been warned in the New Testament by the Apostle Peter, and we see Jeremiah here giving a warning out even before Israel was scattered. He said this, remember this, Jeremiah 3:15 says, God says, I will give them pastors after my own heart to feed them on knowledge and understanding. See, God says, I'm giving you pastors who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You know, so why do we like to listen to the Trinity once you feed us with garbage and nonsense? You said, you know what? The reason is we like junk food better than we like solid, sound food. You know, it's easier to eat potato chips than it is to eat broccoli. You understand? And so people have a tendency to go after the junk food instead of getting into the sound, sincere meat of the word of God. And so, and not only that, it's easier for the pastor because they don't have to worry about that famous meal that I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, roast preacher. that people like to roast the preacher when he tells us the truth, what thus saith the Lord. You see, and so basically the preacher's back down because people look at you like, what is he saying, you know? And basically God had to make Ezekiel's face like flint when he told him, go stand in the court and speak my word to the people. And however they look at you, you look back at them just even more ugly than what they're looking at you. You see, because I'm going to make your face like flint so you can just stir them down and tell them what thus saith the Lord. And Jeremiah, when he had done this, along with all the other prophets, you know what they did? They threw Jeremiah in the prison. Locked him up. We don't want to hear you anymore. You know what? There was a false prophet in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, named Hananiah. He came in and told everybody what they wanted to hear. Oh, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about this captivity thing. It ain't going to last long. We're going to make it through. God is going to give us peace. And he came in and he prophesied, it's yes, yes, Hananiah. We love your message. And then Jeremiah said, but God says you're going into captivity for 70 years.
Wow.
So which message do you think was more palatable? With the people. The people loved Hananiah. Oh, that, you know, lift him up. Let him speak again. Throw that Jeremiah into prison. We don't want to hear from him anymore. Jeremiah was slammed into the prison while they lifted up the false prophet. And the false prophet told them the lies that they wanted to hear. You know what happened? They went into captivity for 70 years. The word of the Lord was exact. Daniel prayed during the captivity because he knew the 70 years are almost up. It's time for a move of God. It's time for God to come and return his people back to their land. You know, Daniel began to pray. Nehemiah had a chance earlier during the captivity to go back and rebuild the wall. And we find that the people of God were in tune with the plan of God, even through the midst of all the trouble that came. Because, you know, God promised to protect the people. Even though you're going into captivity, I want you to go in there, and he said, marry wives among your people. Build up half children, he told them. He said, don't decrease when you go there. Don't just say that God's in trouble and all this old touch and turn world. We don't need any kids. Don't do that. You know, we have a lot of that going on today. People worry about whether I should be a mother or have children today. You know, because of how corrupt and terrible the world is. God wants a righteous seed in the world. It's the only reason you and I are here that love God today is because somebody down the line from us was a righteous seed that loved God. And they raised us up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They grabbed us in the scruff of our neck and drug us to Sunday school. They said, you're going to come in here and you're going to hear the word. Somebody's going to preach the truth to you. Because they knew how important it is to have the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God, passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. You see? And so I thank God for my grandmother and my grandfather, the people who loved God. And they understood it. They didn't understand every little nuance of the word, but they knew God sits high. And he has protected me throughout my day. And he is my keeper. He is my provider. He'll make a way out of nowhere. He can do anything but faith. And they taught me to walk in God, to walk in the power of God. I had to be drugged, kicking and screaming, and one day I got my little self in trouble. And then I said, you know what, I remember my grandmother told me, when you get in trouble, boy, call upon the Lord. I was in trouble, and I cried out to the Lord. And what surprised me, beyond measure, he answered me. I cried out unto the Lord and said, he didn't say a word, but he was with me. He kicked right in instantly and began to improve my wicked life. Began to make me better and better and better. I'm not as good as I should be, but I'm better than I used to be. He's still working on me right now. He will never leave you nor forsake me. You know, somebody probably thinks, boy, you need a lot of work. Yes, I do. But I'm glad he's there. He's promised that if he began a good work in me, he's going to continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what? It's a big job. You might look at it and say, well, we're working on you, dude. That's a big job. Yes, it is. You know, but I got a big God. He's way bigger than my problem. He's way greater than any obstacle that might get in my way. He's already crushed the devil's head for me. You see, he got up out of the grave, defeated death. So when I get a bad report, I'm not going to be worried about it. Probably in the flesh, I'll probably go, oh, Lord. You know, and I'll sit there and cry. I have to go lean on my wife's shoulder and go help me. You know, but the fact is, inside, deep down in my spirit, I know that God is with me. He is blessing us. He's keeping me. He's working the work of salvation in my life. He's working it on the inside. He's depositing righteousness in me. You know, he didn't have to do it. He didn't do it because Fisher was any way or another, except that Fisher understood the gospel. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it is the responsibility of the true shepherds of God to teach the saints of God the unadulterated word of God. And that they must learn to develop and maintain a correct and wholesome view of the scriptures with the understanding that all that is in the scriptures is accurate and reliable, and it's the only accurate and reliable word that we have about God. Now all the false religions, they get everything they have is accurate about God from the Bible. Then next thing you know, they're making a left at Albuquerque, heading down some other direction, down some other street. So it's very important that the saints be in the Word. It's important. Be in the Word. I'm saying this to encourage you right now. This is the beginning of the year. We're 1/12 into the new decade. Be in the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. It's working. You need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That tells you that there is a way to incorrectly divide the Word of truth. How do you defeat that? Study. Yes. Simple as that. It's not going to come into your brain by osmosis. Nobody can beat it into you. My father tried that. Didn't work. You know, it's got to come from study. Yes. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that you need not be ashamed. And you know what? It's a shame when people twist God's word and have its people going the wrong way, like the false pastors back in the day of Israel. You know what? It's really a shame, and we ought to be ashamed if we don't dig into the book and understand that it's exactly right. So navigating the rat race of false religion requires discernment of who are the true prophets of God versus who are the false prophets. That's what you and I have to discern. We ought to be discerning people, looking and listening to everything that's said, examine everything carefully, Paul said, cleave to that which is good, and abhor that which is evil. In other words, that's a call to discernment. We have to discern who is telling me the truth. Who is lying? What is their motive? We need to examine them. See, they're on examination. I'm on examination right now before you, before the holy angels of God, before the Holy Spirit of God. You see? And God is examining me. Now, you ought to be doing it also. Examine people who speak to you. You have to be able to discern who is telling you the truth and who has twisted the interpretation of the Word of God. So you and I have to be able to do that. We want to navigate our way through false religion because we can, it has telltale marks. Most of the time you'll find that people who basically deny the deity of Christ, which is to say that Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father, or that's one of the characteristics of a false religion. The Bible says, do not believe every spirit over in 1 John, but examine the spirits, test the spirits to see whether they be of God. He says, the ones who acknowledge that Jesus Christ is coming to the flesh are of God. Very simple. If they say Christ is the Son of God, equal with God the Father, then you can, if it's pretty reliable, that's one sign that you can know if they say he's not, that these people are not speaking for God. I don't care what they say. I don't care how many members they have. God says if you don't acknowledge the Son, you do not have the Father who sent him. So I don't care how many churches they build. If they deny the deity of Christ, they are not of God. Period. The Bible said so. Pastor Fisher didn't say so. You see, the Bible says, whoever denies the Son of God, the truth is not in you. You do not abide in the truth. So that's one thing. The next thing is they also deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is God. Yes. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter in the church, told the apostles that they were going to give everything they had. And then they kept some of it for themselves. And Peter said, don't you know that when you lied that you did not lie to men, but you lied to God, they lied to the Holy Ghost. So he said the Holy Ghost is God. So does the Bible teach that the Holy Spirit is God? Yes, it does. So if somebody says the Holy Spirit is not God, who is the liar? See, that is very simple. So we have to learn. This is the skill of discernment that you and I have to develop in order to navigate our way and get some relief from the rat race of false religion. And so perhaps one of the greatest and most difficult things or factors to understand about the scripture is what is called the mystery of iniquity. I'm going to take you to 2 Thessalonians, right now. Our time's just about gone. But I want to take you to 2 Thessalonians, the text in chapter 2, and notice what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica. He says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by spirit or by message or a letter as if from us." Somebody had even falsified a letter. See, Paul wrote it, told the church they missed the rapture. Jesus had already come. Your people who died or dead and shall never be risen. They came with all kinds of lies, even at the infancy of the gospel. Verse number 3, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. "Let no one in any way deceive you." See that? "For it will not come unless the apostasy come first," that means the falling away of the church, "and the man of lawlessness, who is the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, and so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I was telling you of these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of iniquity," here's that phrase, or lawlessness, better translation, say the Greek word is anomia, "the mysterion of anomia," which is the mystery of lawlessness, "is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end with the brightness of his coming." The one who's coming is in activity with Satan. You see that? So Satan is going to raise up a false prophet in the last days. The church is being set up to receive him right now. Israel is being set up to receive him right now. People who deviate from the truth of the word of God are going to be sitting ducks. And when this wonderful one comes and sets aside all the differences and says that Muslims are okay, Buddhists are okay, Hindus are okay, Christians are okay, let's all just come in and get together, you know, okay, why can't we all get along? And he comes out with that. A lot of people who are undiscerning will be deceived. And when they are deceived, this is the terrible thing that happens. Verse 11. "And for this reason, God will send them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false." That's judgment from God. People who haven't studied his word, who do not love the truth, will be prepared when the wicked one arises. And because you have rejected the word of God, God will send an influence of delusion upon you, and to believe that which is false, verse 11 of 2 Thessalonians 2, "in order that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." See that? "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren," he says to the church of Thessalonica, "beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." You see that? We have to have faith in the truth. A lie will not save us. We have to trust and believe that God has one way of salvation. That is by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. In Jesus Christ alone. According to the scriptures alone. And that was what divided the church back at the time of the Reformation. We call those solo statements. Sola fide means by faith alone. It's by grace alone. Solo gratia. Solo Christus. By Christ alone. You see, and so a scripture, by the scriptures alone. You see, that's what separated and divided the church back to what it should have been. That's why it's called a reformation, because the church had gotten corrupted, much like it did in the days of Israel before they were deported into Babylon. So this message today, beloved, comes as a stern warning for you and I to understand and believe the precepts of the scripture. And the most difficult thing to understand, as I said, about the scripture is the mystery of iniquity. And it is how ones who do not love the word of God and its true interpretation are given over to deception as a judgment for believing a lie rather than believing the truth. So God does hold us responsible for that. And so I'm praying that everyone will be a little bit more considerate of how you look at the word of God. You need to study the word and know for sure, know that you know that it's right. And I close with these brief messages, just a few brief verses, and I'll take my seat. Here in Micah chapter 3, it says in verse 11, "The heads thereof judge for reward," speaking of people who do what they do for the wrong reason, "and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No evil can come upon us. They had evil motives, some of the people in the days of Israel. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. When you do this, when you stand up for the truth, don't think it will come at a cheap cost or that it may not cost you anything. Jesus says this in Matthew 5 and 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, all the real prophets of God were persecuted all the way from the beginning, from Abel in the Garden of Eden, clear on up until Jesus was crucified. You see, even crucified the Son of God, if you want to see how wicked it can become. He says this in Matthew 10:41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. You see that? And finally, this one, Revelation 11 and 18. And the nations were angry. And he says here, the nations, that's the word for Gentiles, ethnos in the Greek, were angry. And thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou shalt give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. So there's coming a day of redemption. I want to be on the right side of God's fury.
Amen.
You see, because the fury of the Lord is kind of like an archer pulling back a bow. And it's like this. People wonder, what is God doing? The bow is being stretched. And it's going to get to a point one day he's going to let that dead boy go. And when he lets it go, baby, you better be ready. The way to be ready is to be on the right side of God's wrath.
Right.
And the way you do that is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. And I'm going to ask the pastor to come at this time. Amen. And hope you did get a good thought from the message.
Amen.